Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house once again, and good to be here once again at Grace Baptist. We thank you for your invitations to come this way as you seek a pastor. Our prayers are certainly with you. The prayers of our church are with you. Brother Underwood, he keeps reminding us to pray for so many people, and we say, how does he expect us to remember all of that? But the Lord never forgets, and He'll answer prayer in His time, and He'll answer prayer according to His purpose and according to His way. That's one thing we have to get used to just a little more as time goes by. When the Lord works, it's according to His will and not mine. And He will bring things to pass that sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we find ourselves questioning the Lord why He lets things go on the way they do, but He's still in control. And if we will take time to look into the Scriptures, we'll find out that there's nothing happening what He hasn't proclaimed in His Word, even in the day and time that we live. Prophecy is great for God's people, especially in the New Testament Baptist Church days that we live. Prophecy is good. We look forward to things to happen. We look forward to things that would just soon not happen, but it's still ordained to be. And we believe that God has put His hands on all of that. We're thankful that He is so great. We're thankful that He uses His people to do His work here on this earth. We might like sometime if He intervened a little bit more so we don't won't be responsible for so much. But He don't work that way. He wants us to be a responsible people. And there's no doubt about it, folks. God has given us blessing, promise, hope, everything else that He can, or everything else that He is pleased to give us anyway, that we might be confident in everything that He says. I don't have a whole lot of skip around message this morning. I don't have that, but we do want to look in Hebrews in chapter 6. I love this portion of Scripture. I love all of it, but I love this part, and it speaks to God's people and say, well, you know, if you're not careful, you can take a lot of things out of context and apply them to the day and time that we live, and they just won't work. It just don't happen that way, but God's Word is written to God's people. And whether it's written in the Old Testament days, or when it was written in the Old Testament days, penned down, the children of Israel was supposed to hear that. The children of Israel was God's people. It's His chosen people, His chosen nation. He's yet to have to do a great and a miraculous work such as never has been done, seen before. And if you know how God has blessed the children of Israel from the days they went into Egypt to the days they came out of Egypt, and how He blessed them even after they came out, you would wonder how could God's people be so rebellious so quick. And God's Word tells us in the book of Psalm, I'm not sure which one it is, I think it's 107, God reminds us that after all He has done, after all He said, after all He told them, after the many promises that He made, they soon forgot His works. They soon forgot. So we have to beware about soon forgetting about what God we've enjoyed coming here, even today, and we got one that's 88 years old here, you know. And, you know, I wonder, people that age and older, the things that they have seen beyond God's people. They have got to witness more. They've got to experience that and be part of that and enjoy that. Well, in the book, the day and time that we live, there is a lot of The children of God are just from the dead. From the dead, they tried to dispose of. Boy, they tried to burn them all. You can burn all of the books, folks, but God's Word is still going to prevail. God's Word is still going to have a place in the life of His people. And for sure, God's Word will never lose its power. So we have to be thankful for what God has given to us as His people. You know, I saw a little thing on Facebook about when God saved me by His grace, when He saved me by His grace, He had already taken into account my stupidity. The things that I would probably do that I shouldn't do, He somehow... And when God looks down on His people, those that are truly saved, those that have repented and trusted in Christ Jesus, He sees the blood of Christ. And not only that, Jesus is there on the right hand of God, saying, I died for that one. So we do have an advocate on the right hand of God. We do have the leadership of the Spirit here that I spoke just a little bit about. But He says it's time to go. So when God's people, as we live from day to day, know, built by Christ. And you can picture all the mansions you want in our nation. You know, a lot of people look at that place down in where the Vanderbilts are, that place down there, and say, "Boy, look what a mansion." I don't think that's going to compare to the one Christ has built for us. I don't think it'll even compare. But there's time to go on in other things. And it's good to be able to say, "I'm saved." It's good to be able to say, I'm baptized. It's good to be able to say, there's other things to know. And there are a lot of people. You know, we need to be able to say, "I believe every word that He says." But if we examine our heart, then we believe every word that He says. And we should. And even some of the things that are so hard to understand, that it's hard to explain, you know, and everything else, we need to believe those too. Because God said it, and that made it right. Christ brought us this word, folks. He told the apostles, He said, "I have," when He prayed in John chapter 17, when He was praying to the Heavenly Father, He says, "Father, I have told them all." You think about being to us, face to face, eye to eye, shaking hands with the Son of God, giving the... Not that I want any of those from y'all men. Speaking about those holy people that they get... Carpenter's helper, you know. Again, one of our former pastors done gone to be with the Lord many, many years ago. He said, "I wonder if Jesus put His initials on tables like people do. You know, when you build something for somebody and you sneak up underneath of it, you might put your initial on it or your name or something like that. I wonder if He ever did that. I don't know." He was a carpenter's helper. He wasn't a carpenter. He was a carpenter's helper. But I'd say He did some good work, don't you? I hope Joseph was just a little more patient than my daddy was when he told me to hold the light or something, or when I told my kids to hold the light and everything while I was trying to do something and said, "Here, give me that light." I don't think that happened. I think he did good work. So we look at the life of Christ. We look at the disciples that He called, the apostles. We look at their responsibilities that had been bestowed upon them. And folks, as another book of Hebrews tells us, seeing that we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So great a cloud of witnesses. Who you reckon that's talking about? Folks, I believe all of the Old Testament saints. I believe the apostles that He called. I believe all the New Testament saints, folks, that died in service to God, those that might have been martyred, those that... I think that those people that witnessed those things, I think if we would ponder on those things every once in a while, maybe we could become just a little bit closer, because we know their life, don't we? Because God recorded it for us. We know what Isaiah says because God recorded it for us. We know what God says to His people because God had it written down, that we might be greater witnesses too. And believe me, the day you said you were saved by the grace of God, you have never had more witnesses look down on you from that day forward, people will watch your life. They will hear your speech. They will look at your dress. They will judge you. And they will call you everything but a milk cow just because you believe the things of God. So we need to continue to believe the things of God. Doesn't make any difference what the world thinks. Everybody says, what do my friends think? What does God think, folks? Or what does God know about us? What does He see in us? Why did He save me? Why did He save you? Would He have been just as better off saving somebody else? We don't know. When God saved you by His grace, folks, He saved you because He loved you. And He saved you because He called you. Let us go on in unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. It says, this will we do if God permit. Now, I don't think God ever hinder His people from learning more from His Word. I don't think He would ever do that. We know, as we said, we know about baptism, we know about the laying on of hands, we know about the resurrection of the dead. We're settled and grounded and rooted in those things, and that is your hope as a child of God. That's what we know that we have in Christ Jesus. And He said, and this will be... Now, I've been accused this next couple of verses, I've been accused of taking this way out of context before. But I want you to know this, as God's people, when you're saved by the grace of God, you are saved with an eternal and an everlasting salvation. Maybe the next message we can expound on that just a little bit. But it's a salvation that Christ says, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life. That's something that doesn't end at all, ever. Eternal life, eternal salvation. And when you think about the doctrine of eternal salvation, which is to me one of the greatest doctrines in the world, folks, God saved me despite of who I was. He just saved me despite of how hard my heart was, and how much. Yet He saved me. Yet He loved me. And yet He's pleased to use me in His service in whatever capacity. That's how great our salvation is. And that's where it came from. And He is alive forevermore. We're not serving a dead Savior. He's living. God confirms that in His Word. On His right hand, and that's the side of power, folks, when it comes to the throne of God. That right hand of God, whenever you read about it, folks, that's the side of power. And that's where Jesus is. Now, for it is impossible, and people's calling this a hypothetical situation or whatever, call it what you want, folks. God uses the word impossible. For those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Now, to know that, you have to be saved. To know those things that we just read about, folks, you have to be saved. And, you know, just for the sake of knowing or hearing them one more time, we have been enlightened. We have been shown the light in Christ Jesus. We have tasted of a heavenly gift. What is that heavenly gift? And it's just talking about one gift here. The heavenly gift. Folks, I believe with all truly a heavenly gift. Where did your salvation come from? It came from heaven, folks. It came from God. That heavenly gift that we are all If you remember last week, we mentioned a lot of people, when you talk about the Scriptures, a lot of people say, I've read that Bible through time and time and time again. I know everything that it says. They don't know anything it says, folks, except they have the Holy Spirit. Now, we are saved by the grace of God. Once again, I say, we're not better than anybody else, but we're secure. I could never stand behind a pulpit and say that God's people are better than anyone else, because that would be completely against the Scriptures. Especially when God applies the universal gift of mankind, where we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all stand guilty before God. So I can't stand behind a pulpit. And now, we have been enlightened, we've tasted of the Holy Spirit, and we're made partakers of the Holy Spirit. And we say, well, you know, we want the Holy Spirit, but if we don't like the Holy Ghost, folks, if God uses it, I have to use it. I mean, that's all there is to it. If God uses that word, and He says, I need to learn what the Holy Ghost is, and we have that Holy Ghost of the things that we have been taught since we've been saved by the grace of God. And to be honest, folks, before I was saved, I knew nothing about Christ Jesus. I didn't know nothing about sin. I didn't know anything at all about being wrong. I didn't know any of those things until somebody faithful to the calling of God with the gospel kept telling me and preaching and witnessing and telling and preaching and witnessing time and time and time again. And then God made that effective. And then all of a sudden, when that Holy Spirit reveal unto me my lost and my undone condition, folks, I'd never felt like I'd felt before. So were you delighted? Oh, I was afraid, folks. I was afraid because then I was able to see my sin. Then I was able to see my guilt. Then I was able to see Jesus hanging on that cross because of me. Not just because of the other people that cried out, crucify him, crucify him. That's all they had on their mind, folks. They wanted to get rid of Christ. When I saw my guilt, there was a fear there. You know what? I even envisioned a place called hell that not a whole lot of people preach about anymore. They're just afraid to preach about hell. And said, well, that sort of turns people off, you know, when you preach about hell. You can't go up to a lost person and say, just die and go on to hell. That's not a real good witness, you know. That's not a real good way to witness to somebody. Tell them about Jesus. Because they don't know anything about hell. We do, don't we? Boy, it's a place of fire and torment. That old rich man said, I'm tormented in these flames. He said, I've got five brothers. I don't want them to come down here. Send somebody back from the dead. Because if you do that, they'll see you as something special. And they'll believe then. Word of God says, no, if they won't believe Moses and the prophets, you mean in that day and time, Moses and the prophets? Well, sure, folks. Moses and the prophets, what did they do? They prophesied Jesus Christ and Him crucified. They sure did. Tell them how to be saved. Folks, one way or another, God's going to tell them about, show them about hell. And in the end, if they're not saved by the grace of God, they're for sure going to know about it too. Just like that rich man, I'm tormented in these flames. Or I'm tormented in these flames. It's not a place you want your family to go down there, and people make a big scene out of it and say, I'm going to go down there and going to be with all my friends and all of the people I used to party with. You go there, folks, there'll be no friends. You're going there as an intruder. so far, far from the truth that people are taught everybody is a child of God. So far, that's there's not a bit of truth to that, folks. Not a bit of truth. Everybody is not the children of God. Everybody is the creation of God, but not the children of God. Well, so you tasted of the Holy Ghost. Now, if that ever happened, if that ever would happen, and you would happen to lose your salvation. Now, verse 4 says, it is impossible for those that have been enlightened, that have tasted the heavenly gift, partakers of the Holy Ghost, in other words, saved by God's grace, it's impossible for those that are saved by God's grace and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, tasted the good word of God. Was there ever a greater burden lifted from your heart than the day you were saved? Has there ever been a greater burden than that lifted from your heart? I don't think so. I mean, folks, we went from a helpless, hopeless, undone condition to having all hope, all help, and all hope in Christ Jesus. Complete in Christ Jesus. Now, if you were able, if it was possible for you to lose that salvation, if it was possible, and if they shall fall in, lose your salvation, if they shall fall away. And God also used this word impossible here. It still applies. If they shall fall away, that you could never under repentance. In other words, but salvation. Well, if you're truly saved, I probably repeat that too much, but I don't want anybody leaving here saying, well, he said you could lose your salvation. I'm saying you can't lose your salvation. And if it were possible to be saved and lost and saved and lost like a lost, you're going to stay lost. Because it's impossible to renew themselves again unto repentance. Why is that? Because Jesus would have to come back again and die for those sins. If you would, to renew again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves and put him to an open shame. Put him to an open shame. You know what, folks? If Christ ever had to do that, that means he failed the first time. If he ever had to do that, come down and die for my sins again, he failed the first time. Folks, my Savior is not a failure. And God's plan did not falter, and it did not fail in any way. The salvation that He grants is eternal and everlasting. And to even think that you can be lost and saved and lost and saved, you're putting the name of Christ to an open shame and the very Son of God to an open shame. It's not going to happen, folks. Christ died once for all. He died once for all, and that's all He's going to die, folks. Let me tell you, the day He suffered on the cross, people say, well, you know, He bore the sins of many. Yes, He did. But you know who put Him there, folks? I did. You know whose sins that He suffered and bled and died for? It was mine. But all them other people at the foot of the cross, don't you know how they treated Him, preacher? Don't you know? Have you ever studied anything about what happened to Jesus? I sure have. Why, He treated like no other person could ever be treated. He was whipped to the point, folks, where anybody else would have probably died from his wounds. That's what I believe. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But the writer says, y'all people are saved by the grace of God. And he's addressing the Hebrew children here, the Hebrew people. The writer's saying, discounting all of those other things, he said, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Oh, folks, look here. It would be such a shame for us to forsake the salvation that God has given us, to not hold it precious and dear to our hearts. You know, we're saved by the grace of God. We don't have to worry about what we can or can't do. I'll tell you something, folks. I don't like to use the word worry because I do too much of that and it hurts. It hurts your spiritual life. Worry, worry, worry. And people worry. You know, people say, well, that's just human nature to worry. Yes, it is, folks. But there comes a time we've got to turn things over to God. Because we can worry all we want and not solve a thing. But for us to reject the things of God as a child of God, it's just like those folks that haven't been enlightened, that hadn't tasted the good Word of God, that's not partakers of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Say, can we get in that condition? Yeah, it's called backslidden, folks. It's called backslidden, not lost again. There's a whole lot of difference between backslidden and lost. Let me tell you. God's people, the children of Israel, they were guilty of backsliding just almost from one book to another. There's always lots and lots of places where God's people backslid. In other words, they just wanted to go back under the old ways. Even to the point of going back into Egypt, you know, because they got good cucumbers there and squash and all that kind of stuff. They got back to thinking, we really had it made over there, although the taskmasters almost beat us to death with their whips and doubled our workload, made us make brick and everything else out of mud and grass and just beat us every day. And we'd go back to the land of Goshen just plumb wore out. And they got to think, well, that wasn't so bad. And God out there bringing water out of the rock. God out there bringing quail from the east. God out there opening the ocean, the sea over there for them so they could walk across and not even get their feet muddy. God out there doing all of those things for the children of Israel and said, we want to go back to Egypt. God brought us out here to die. What did God tell them? I'm going to take you to a land of promise. He didn't tell them, I'm going to take you out there to die. He said, I'm going to take you to a land of promise. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shown toward His name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful. Be not slothful. Or slow. Or lazy. You know, that word probably has a lot of different meanings in the word of in the dictionaries, you know, but God means slothful, slow, and lazy. God don't procrastinate. Don't keep putting things off. Said it's time for you to get closer to the Lord. It's time for us to realize how great a salvation we got. It's time for us to realize it's impossible for now for me after I'm saved by the grace of God. It's impossible now for me to die and go to hell. It's impossible. It just can't happen. And it won't happen. Followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. More than one promise. More than one promise from God. But we do know this, folks. We are the people of God. And we are the called of God. And we are going to be used of God in some way or another. While we're here on this earth. And the way things are looking, folks, we really need to cast our eyes toward heaven. The way things are looking, we really need to focus on what God has done for us and what God is still able to do. You think of the impossibilities with man, but folks, nothing's impossible with God. Might we hear the word that He would have us to hear this day and work in our hearts to His glory and to His honor. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this invitation. Father, we thank You for Your salvation, Your Son Jesus. We thank You for Your enlightenment. Father, use us to Your glory and honor. Father, we pray for our loved ones that are lost, even if there might be any in the midst this day that have never repented and trusted in Christ. Might You bring them to a point where they see their sin, their need to trust in the Lord Jesus. Forgive my sin and my failures. And we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we thank You. And amen.